Welcome back to In the Moment. South Dakota Governor Dennis Dugard signed a bill last week that establishes the Government Accountability Board. This bill, now law, is considered an integral part of repealing and replacing Initiated Measure 22. While the Government Accountability Board doesn't exactly replace the Ethics Commission approved by voters, the board is meant to catch scandals like EB5 and Gear Up before they happen. SDPB's Lee Strubinger sat down with Representative Karin Soley, who spearheaded the effort to make the board become law.
Representative Karin Soley of District 15 in Minnehaha County, Sioux Falls, thanks for joining me in the moment.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
So, you were the prime sponsor of the Government Accountability Board. Can you tell me what this board should do, theoretically should do?
This bill that has now just signed by the governor creates a group, you could call it a commission or a committee, we're calling it a board, that will be open to receiving complaints and concerns from the public about state government employees in the executive branch and also public officials that they believe are doing wrong things, to put it simply, and that this is what you would call an ethics committee, but they investigate then these allegations of wrongdoing, and there's the bill or the law sets forth a way to deal with them if they're found to be true, or dismiss them. So the idea is it creates a doorway or an access point for people who feel they've witnessed something wrong going on with these folks to make that known, and the first part of that is confidential. So there's some safety in doing that. Of course, it doesn't stay confidential if there's some merit to these claims, but it allows people to step forward and hopefully to stop bad things, maybe not totally from happening, but catching them early and avoiding negative consequences.
There's been a lot of praise for putting this board together. I've heard from both sides of the aisle. And why this particular makeup of this certain board? Could you explain the makeup of it and why these certain people?
Well, when I started out, and we legislators have lawyers available to us to write bills, so I worked with somebody who was very excellent on our legislative research staff, and what he had laid out, as we talked about, was a board of six people, and these were appointed. It could be, you might say, could be anybody, and appointed by different leadership in the legislature. Well, as I went along, I was very open to suggestions. This is a pretty serious matter, so how we can strengthen it. And the thought came up, could we put retired judges on this board? And this is a pretty monumental task. I mean, theoretically, someone could come to that board with complaints or concerns about something the governor did. So it's not trivial at all. So when that idea came forward, it was just kind of thrown out, retired judges. I did some checking, including with one of our retired judges in the Senate, and I talked with the Chief Justice about whether this was appropriate. So what we ended up with is four retired judges, or former judges, they might not be, who would serve on this group. You don't really need six appointed by the governor, but no more than two from one political party. So the point is, you'd have to have three for a majority, and so you'd be including somebody from the other party. And after judges serve, I mean, of course, they're non-political when they're serving, but after they serve, they certainly may choose or be public about their political party. So this makeup allows for people who've been spending a good deal of their life and career with great discretion, trying to be respectful of people who are accused and also those who are accusing. And that sets up a very thoughtful, responsible way to handle this. It turned out to be a great idea.
How do you get retired judges, I guess, to get on board?
That remains to be seen. We have two retired judges in our legislature, one in the Senate and one in the House, and I've suggested to both of them that they have a career after they go out of office, and there are a number of those in the state that, and be retired circuit court judge, or it could also be a retired Supreme Court judge who had not come to that position through the circuit court. So we truly hope they'll step up. It's a long term, it's 5 years, but that's intended to give a level of independence so that, you know, the one who appointed them may, their longevity may be longer than the person who appointed them.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but Democrats have been trying to get this or something like this passed for several years. And I guess what changed this year?
Yes, this has been a concern, some kind of ethics committee, or at least to study what we might want to do. I want to add that the judicial already has a group like this, and but the legislature has quite a few areas that are and rules and ways to take care of that, issues like that. But what was missing was the executive branch. But this year, of course, initiated Measure 22 passed, and there was a lot of conversation about ethics in government. An ethics commission that was initiated Measure 22 was about campaign finance, an important area, and we're still working on that. But it did not address particularly the areas that have given most of us the most sadness and concern, like Gear Up and EB-5 even. So, and that's under the executive branch. So that was a part of this. But Democrats, like I said, have brought this up. But it seemed like we should revisit it and maybe focus a little differently. That's what I came up with. But certainly I worked on a bill last year that was not totally unlike this, but not as well developed, and it didn't make it through committee. So initiated Measure 22 is part of that, but not the only thing. I think all the people that I worked with have been profoundly touched, especially by the Gear Up tragedy. I think we realize if there's anything we can do that might have stopped something like that, or caught it early enough to change those outcomes, then we should do it.
What else can you tell me about getting this passed? I guess, what was the process like?
I started, quite frankly, by showing this bill to the Attorney General. This is housed under his office, not that he's in charge of it. And of course, this is something that's going to concern him regardless of where it's housed. And I've gotten to know him, and I knew that he would be a good person to talk to. So I didn't start with the idea that I was going to just throw this out there and see how somebody, you know, see if I could get it passed. Once I got it written and it was in a form where I thought it was had some merit, I went and showed it to him. And quite frankly, he was open to it and started to improve it. And then I went on from there to visit with other constitutional officers and, of course, my own leadership, and then leadership in the House, the Speaker of the House, who was very pleased to see this and thanked me. And then, not arm-twisting, but what happened is I stayed open to suggestions because of how serious this is, and I'm not a legal expert. I am probably an ethics expert as a Lutheran pastor, and I knew where I was headed with this. So getting that kind of help, like the suggestion about judges, and we included other things, and adding the referral to the Department of Criminal Investigation, things like that, that really strengthened it. But that being said, I really didn't approach it as a bill that was a Democrat bill, purposely, because I realized if it was going to pass, it really had to be supported across the board by everybody. And getting to know these folks, this is my third term, I really felt that there would be good support for this.
Representative Soli, thanks for joining me on In the Moment.
And thank you for taking time to listen and think about this. I think it's an important new law, I can say that now, that will be helpful in our state. I'm sorry we need it, but I'm a realist, and I'm a Lutheran pastor, so we're comfortable with the notion of sin, saints and sinners, so we need to provide realistic ways to be helpful with that.
That's SDPB's Lee Strubinger talking with Representative Karin Soli. Thanks, Lee.